As he always checks in with us weekly, we are joined by the Minister of Jobs, Economy and Innovation, as well as our baseball analyst, Doug Schweitzer. And Minister, first off, obviously, before I guess we get into the baseball, obviously some huge announcements made yesterday in terms of trying to limit the spread of COVID. You're on that committee. You had a chance to be at that table. This has got to be, these have to be difficult decisions. And I think it was like an eight-hour meeting. I mean, like, there's got to be so many different ideas and proposals exchanged back and forth when you sit in a room like that, and eventually it's got to be so difficult to try to find that right compromise.
You know what? It really is a credit, though, to the department officials, Dr. Henshaw, you know, the team at Health, all of my colleagues as well. Like, we literally went through every single possible decision, and we went through the data, we went through the options, because there was a whole host of measures that were introduced yesterday to help, you know, restrict the spread of COVID in our province. And we went through line by line, making sure that we got the decisions right, making sure that they're supported by the data, making sure that it wasn't a sledgehammer, that it was precise, it was strategic, and making sure that we can, you know, limit the spread of the COVID virus in our province of Alberta. You know, there's going to be folks that say you shouldn't do this, you should do that. There's no perfect playbook in the response to this pandemic. Many jurisdictions around the world have done lots of different things. You've seen full lockdowns that weren't successful. You've seen people do targeted measures that have been. So we're learning a lot throughout this. We're following the data that we have here in the province of Alberta. And I think we got the balance right, but as the Premier noted in his press conference, is that if Albertans aren't responsible, if they don't stop hanging out together in these groups and spreading the virus, you know, further measures are going to be required in mid-December. Like, it simply has to be, you know, heard across the province that they need to take this seriously. People need to continue to be vigilant in what they're doing. We're all tired. I'm tired of COVID. My kids are tired of COVID. You know, everybody you talk to is tired of this, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. We're in that fourth quarter of a tough fight. And we're almost there. So these measures are, and the one thing too I just want to highlight, it's a lot of people say, oh, we need a 2-week circuit breaker. Show me anywhere in the world that it's been 2 weeks. Then it's not 2 weeks. These politicians and other officials, they're misleading the public when they make statements like that. We're honest in our approach, saying, look, these are going to be here at least until mid-December. And we're going to put we're doing our things with the schools as well, and that'll go into mid-January. But we're doing this for the exact reason that we want to be responsible. We want to follow the data. And if it doesn't work and it continues to be spread, there'll be more measures.
Yeah, fair enough, Minister. And I guess another thing that we're going to point out, you did touch on it, and the Premier also did. And since we do have you on the line, I'm obviously a big super spreader, and the Premier as well as Dr. Henshaw have made no bones about this, are these private gatherings that are happening in people's homes. So obviously it seems like by the data that you guys have seen that if that could be limited, it seems like there would be an even brighter light at the end of the tunnel. And I guess people realize, like the Premier kind of said yesterday, is that nobody thinks that you're going to go to a house and come back with a virus or possibly spread a virus until you do.
Well, and people feel comfortable when they're hanging out with friends and family, so they let their guard down. They take the mask off. Sometimes people have a beer or two, and they're right there, right close to everybody. And that's where we really are seeing a lot of spread. We're also seeing it as well where people were they let their guards down. They were going into bars. They were going into restaurants. They were doing things irresponsibly and having too much of a wide net for their own social network. So what we've done here is that, we said, look, you have to keep your immediate household. Like, that's who you can hang out with right now. And who would have thought we would be at that point? I never got into politics to make that kind of a limitation, but we simply have to because of the irresponsible behavior that's happening across Alberta. The one thing, too, is that some people were calling for, you know, lockdown the restaurants, lockdown all this stuff, but we wanted to make sure we gave those small business owners a chance in all of this, to beat small businesses, the retailers, a chance to, you know, do everything that they can to keep a controlled environment. And with the restaurants, we've ended alcohol sales at 10 o'clock, and you can only go to a restaurant with your family, with your immediate household. Your immediate household. So that's really critical that people continue to follow those guidelines and rules. We didn't want to punish the restaurants for, you know, being small business owners, but as long as the people are sticking to our households, we can keep those restaurants open. And for all those people out there that want their restaurants, you know, want those small businesses open in their communities, you need to follow the rules. Stick to your household. You can still go to your restaurant. That's key. And the restaurants are going to make sure that they do what they do with giving you a nice meal, but we've got to make sure people are vigilant in how they're approaching this. It isn't just a free-for-all where people can all of a sudden pile in with all their friends. That's a non-starter. It has to be your household.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess that means any weekly pancake gatherings that I would have with friends, since none of them live in my household, sorry guys, we're going to have to restrict that. But also as well, I guess another thing is, and this, I guess to put it on more of a positive note here, obviously, is And it ties into the COVID, and that is earlier this week. I know you hinted on last week's show that stay tuned for some announcements in terms of government supports. And on Monday, you made some significant announcements. Talk about them.
So we came up with further supports for small businesses. So if you're a small business that has had a significant impact by these new health orders, we've done a second payment for small businesses in our relaunch grant. So earlier this year, we announced up to $5,000 for small businesses. They can now make a second application for further $5,000. It takes them up to $10,000 if they qualify for it. This isn't going to fix everything, but it's meant to be there as part of the solution. We're also working with the federal government on some rent relief initiatives that they're working on that should come out imminently. So we're doing a whole bunch of things here to help support small businesses, keep them working, keep them going, and because you know so many of them, they're almost there. Like we're almost out of this pandemic, and hopefully we can set them up for success next year.
Awesome. And also, this one actually came in from a listener. This is very interesting. Greg wants to know, hey, Minister, the Prime Minister hinted that Canada will be behind on the vaccine trail because Canada doesn't have its own vaccine production facilities. Can you see this as an area where Alberta can innovate and be a leader?
You know what? We've been having discussions with some certain vaccine developers here in Alberta. There's one actually in Edmonton that's working in collaboration with the University of Alberta on a COVID vaccine. You know what? There could be some potential for this. And this is a long-term, this isn't just immediate COVID. This is actually long-term supply chain, resiliency, national security. The fact that we don't have the capacity in Canada to develop a vaccine is a shame. Like it's actually, you look at this like in hindsight, it's like, how can we let this happen? So we're taking a look at that local producer here that's looking at a vaccine construction, as well as there are other jurisdictions in Canada looking at this as well, but it's a huge gap. We all would have hoped that the federal government would have moved faster on this, but we are where we are right now, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure we get a vaccine out to Albertans at the earliest possible opportunity.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And obviously, like in terms of innovation, like now we're starting to see things as well. And I know this is another question that came in from a listener that's easy. And it says, hey, Minister, we see a lot of things about artificial intelligence, machine-based learning, and other Alberta innovations. Would there ever be a chance? And I think this may be more for the Education Minister, but I could see where it may tie in. Would you ever see an opportunity for maybe these things like machine learning, artificial intelligence to maybe be taught in the public school system?
I definitely think that we should. I mean, the whole STEM initiative, like there's a whole bunch of things that we're trying to do. We're working with Junior Achievement across Alberta as well. And a lot of this is available, and it's becoming more and more accessible. The pandemic has actually driven a whole bunch of innovative tools now onto education platforms that are online. And that's just exciting to see that ability to come online that's driven by data, driven by science, and kids can just completely interact with it. So there's lots of different creative ways that you can learn how to be a part of artificial intelligence, machine learning from a training perspective. And it's just key going forward that people have that skill set. And one other thing that I'll just want to highlight as well is that we had a call last week with the head person at SpaceX that's doing the Starlink program. So people that know SpaceX, that's Elon Musk, that's sending all the rockets up there that we've been following. They actually have their Starlink program where they're trying to bring broadband access to everywhere in remote communities around the entire world. And they already have access into parts of Alberta. They're working their way north. I think they're about halfway up the province right now for satellite coverage. And they're in their beta testing right now to make sure that it works, make sure it works for Albertans. But early reports are that it's a system that's working well. So if there's people in the Peace Country that have struggled getting onto fiber optics, struggled getting broadband connections that are fast, there's a whole bunch of really creative solutions that are coming down the pipe that should be available here in the near term for Albertans.
All right. Yeah, and I know, glad you mentioned that, Minister, because that's obviously a huge one here, getting people in the rural Northwest connected to the Internet. And I was just like looking through and I scrolled down on your Twitter feed and it was kind of funny because my colleague and I were watching Muppet videos this morning and now I see Fraggle Rock. And I see Fraggle Rock. I'm trying so hard not to hum in my head right now the song. But that's it's a tribute to the film industry and now I'm seeing that the Fraggle Rock brand wants to come and film in, of all places, Calgary here in Alberta.
Yeah, and this is a big production. They're spending tens of millions of dollars. This is a real production with Apple and the Jim Henson Company, and they're booking out the entire studio for months, like for almost half a year in Calgary. So that's actually that's the entire film capacity right now in Calgary. So when I've been talking about the opportunity in film and television and being in Alberta, being a real potential player in this field, it's there, and it's here now. So we've got, this is an encouraging step. We're looking at some further policies to potentially make this an even stronger play for Alberta. And it's just, it's kind of neat. Like, the Fraggles, it's kind of, for us, it's my nostalgic youth growing up seeing the Fraggles.
Right.
But it's cool to see it kind of get rebooted in all of all places in the world, right here in Alberta.
Now, I got to ask this one, too, because, I mean, you and I are in a similar age group, and would you have, you grew up watching Fraggle Rock, I did, too, Sesame Street, the Muppets, and all that. Do you find that your children, like, are aware of, like, the Muppets, Sesame Street, those guys, or are they into their own generation of the idols we looked up to as children?
When they were younger, like, my kids are a little bit older now, when they were younger, they would like Sesame Street and some of the stuff there, but, yeah, there's a whole new generation of shows now, too, but I'm actually serious. Once this thing gets rebooted, I'd love to show it to my kids and see what they think about it.
That would be really cool. All right, and that's a lot of that. Now, obviously, we got to get on to the baseball, Doug, because the big thing is that yesterday I was blown away when I saw that the Tampa Bay Rays would consider trading Blake Snell if the offer was right. Now, we're talking about a 27, 28-year-old former Cy Young Award winner, probably a little frustrated with how the World Series ended. And Tampa Bay has always made some good decisions. We both know that, but you can't win on a Blake Snell trade, can you?
I think you can, actually. The way that Tampa Bay plays kind of that whole strategic play for the long term, they're taking somebody that's 27, 28 years old, probably only has another 4 years of kind of good productive time in the major league. It maybe gets more, but with pitchers, you got kind of early to mid-30s at most. They could probably trade him and get 4 or 5 solid prospects. Maybe one of them turns into somebody like him. You got a couple other kind of utility players. Not a bad move at this point in time. Not a bad move.
Well, remember this one when the Tampa Bay Rays traded Matt Garza to the Chicago Cubs several years back. They got Chris Archer in that deal. So they always, you know what, they find a way, and I'm done questioning their strategy. But obviously saying that is right now, isn't that? And I'm guessing it's because of COVID, but we're seeing a little bit of activity in the NBA right now. But in terms of baseball, it's been fairly quiet. Do you expect that's going to pick up soon?
Baseball will pick up soon, but remember, the NBA, their season starts on Christmas. So they've had their draft, and now they're in free agency scramble mode. So it's a very condensed offseason for the NBA, so that's why you're seeing so much activity on the NBA front. Baseball usually plays out a little slower, where a lot of the signings don't happen until January or early February. So yeah, a little bit of a different timing for the two seasons.
And you know what, very interesting for the NBA here is they're just about to wrap up here or start up here really soon. And in saying that, though, it seems like most of this year, not very big activity. I mean, Gordon Hayward and his injury history getting the contract he did was a little surprising. But, I mean, in saying that, though, I mean, we did not see any major other contracts handed out. It seems like, Doug, everyone's preparing for the following offseason when you have Anthony Davis, the big Greek Antetokounmpo is a free agent. There's a lot of big money out there. And speaking of that, too, the Miami Heat even gave Bam Adebayo a big contract. So it seems like some money's flying around, but it's to keep lock-up stars as opposed to sign new ones.
Yeah, that's kind of my same observation. It is about just locking up the existing talent that they've got for like kind of 4 to 5 year deals. But you know what? I'm sure there's going to be some trades at the end. There's going to be some activity at some point in time.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And obviously you'd figure that it's always the calmest just before the storm, so it should be interesting. But I guess by the way it's looking now, Doug, it doesn't look like the travel restrictions will be lifted for us to get down to somewhere on the West Coast for the baseball meetings.
You know what? Stay tuned. We'll have to wait and see how the vaccine distribution goes. Maybe we can catch the tail end of spring training, but most likely not this year. Maybe we have to wait for next year.
No, no doubt about that. That's awesome. All right, Minister, we always appreciate you checking in with us. Be well.
All right, you too.
This is Doug Schweitzer, Minister of Jobs, Economy, and Innovation, and our baseball insider, and this is another edition of The Hot Seat.